just know you're not alone. 'Cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Welcome to Your Care Partners on WWER. This is part two of our three-part series interview with Don and Christy Talbot.
Hi, welcome to WWER 88.1 FM. I'm Marty Allman.
And I'm Jill White.
And we're your care partners.
Today we have quite an honor. Marty and I are going to be speaking with Christy and Don Talbot, who have been on a very special journey, and they've been sharing it for years, and it's information that's hard to come by, especially when you have the care partner and the person that's dealing with the disease who can still communicate so clearly and so honestly. So thank you guys so much for continuing your efforts. We're very thrilled to welcome you.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
All right.
There's a much bigger dynamic that goes on here between Christy and I than the Alzheimer's. And, you had asked me before why it was a faithful journey. And everywhere I look, no matter what, I can only see blessings.
Wow.
I mean, I've actually gotten mad, and but I've never blamed anybody. I've never asked why me. Mm. But when God gave me a helpmate, He picked the absolute perfect one, and we've been together for what, 36 years?
36 years. We've been married, yes.
And her challenge, I think what has made us successful now is the fact that she was diagnosed with MS right after we were married.
Mm-hmm.
So her multiple sclerosis has, I treat her the same way as she treats me.
You're her caregiver.
Yeah, so we're good for one another like that.
We are.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, Christy, a lot of what we talk about on the podcast is, support for caregivers and all of that. And I'm wondering, how do you prioritize your self-care? I mean, do you give yourself certain days of the week or certain times of the day, or?
Well, no, I do not.
She does not.
And when I.
And I fussed you for that.
I know.
But, good man.
Yeah.
Don has separation anxiety from me. There's a lot that goes into that.
Mm-hmm.
What I do for myself is that I have my best friend talk to I have a male best friend who is Don, and I have a female best friend who is Carla. And I can talk to her on the phone if I'm not disturbing Don. What I do know is if I allow my emotions, if I'm not able to control my emotions, that's when I start getting sick. Stress is stress for a caregiver huge.
Crazy.
And because not only are you taking care of someone, you have to take care of the house. You have to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely everything, including what if I get sick,
right?
Which happens. When I get sick, I really get sick with my MS. And so I've learned that I am not allotted to allow my stress to get to that point. And so I really stop and look at what are my stressors. And I try to take care of those. I enjoy I watch church online. I enjoy watching a movie when Don is taking a nap or just sitting in a quiet area. I do things that I find peace in that make me happy when I can find the time. Mm-hmm. Do I take a whole day out and go to the spa or something like that? No, because not only does Don have separation anxiety, I've started having separation anxiety from Don because, yeah. You know, of course we all get into that mindset that mm-hmm. no one can take care of him like me. Right. And right. What's going on with him and what kind of shape is he going to be in when I pick him up or get him back? And that can be a stressor. Like Don sometimes goes to daybreak and I find out that he has talked the entire time he's been there. And when he gets in the car, I mean, he is done. And then he sits there and yells at himself, or why did I do that?
Aww.
But I think the biggest strain that I have in stress is I always want to make sure I'm doing everything I can for him, because if Don were to pass away before me, I would never want for me to have to look back and say, why did I do something? Or why didn't I do this? Or why wasn't I more patient? I think the one thing that frustrates me with Don, and I'm still working on it to this day, it's very, very difficult. Don, if we've had a real quiet morning and we decide to go meet someone for lunch, and we go to lunch for that hour, Don, and he'll tell you, he puts on a show. He will do everything in his power to be, quote, normal. And by the time you get ready to leave, he can barely walk to the car.
Aww.
And then what happens to me is I'm like, well, if you can be normal for that person after I've told him you've been crazy and, you know, not wanting to talk and doing this or doing that, then you could be more normal for me.
Right.
I think that's just our human nature.
Yeah. You know what's
like your family gets the worst part of you.
I was just going to say the same thing in every relationship, pretty much.
Yes.
It's the same thing. I'll get annoyed. My husband's, oh, how come you're so happy when you're with them? How come you're so friendly? And I get the grump, you know, what's happening?
Right. And they say it's because the people we're most comfortable with and we love the most, we know we don't have to be jolly all the time.
Right.
But that's one thing that I struggle with, is because I know what he's doing. But, and I think it comes from the fact that I might be just letting off some stress about what kind of day we've had. You know, I feel bad that Don's had this day and it's been really bad for him and blah, blah, blah. But then the next day we go to lunch with someone and he's perfect.
Right.
And I'm just, they look at me like, are you making that up?
Exactly.
I'm like, live with us for 24 hours. Just come live with us.
That's, I think that in our caregiver support groups, that's the one thing I always say. When you've got family members saying, what are you talking about? I don't see what you're talking about. I said, leave them there for like 48 to 72 hours.
Yeah.
And then come back.
Some of the best stories I've heard are people saying, you know, I don't know why Dad has such a problem with Mom. And then Dad goes off to go to someone's funeral and the person gets the mom for a weekend and can't wait for Dad to get back.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not that I love Don unconditionally, and I understand, and I tell myself all the time, and it really does help, that this is not my husband that I married 36 years ago. This is a man who is fighting with all his core to be the person that I know he wants to be, yet a disease is hindering him from that person. He would never talk to me this way.
Right.
He would never treat me this way. I can say those things. I know if he did not have Alzheimer's, he would not be acting like this towards me. And that has to help people. And it goes along. My number one caregiving advice is you have to be flexible. Every minute of the day will be different with your loved one. You cannot have expectations of someone with Alzheimer's. If you have expectations, it is the excellent way to ruin your day and be disappointed, because a person with Alzheimer's is doing the best they can.
one of the things about Alzheimer's, talking about that, is I was surprised how apathetic I had become. You know, no real happy, no real sad.
Okay.
That happens, it happens. If that doesn't happen, it happens.
He could care less, and he says that a lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sometimes when people get upset or, you know,
yeah,
it's like, what do you want me to do about it? It's over with.
Hmm.
And, you know, I don't know how to fix that. Yeah. I know that I can only control the things that I can control. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it, I don't have enough brain power to worry about it.
Well, Don, in some ways, it can also be things that most of us don't do until sometimes it's too late, is just accept.
Yeah.
Accept what's happening and then work around it, deal with it, or ignore it, or whatever you have to do.
Well, accept is the final stage of grief.
Exactly.
So,
and
how you want to get there, you can stay. You can stay in grief forever.
And what a waste if you have an alternative, or if you can, you know, alter how you're perceiving something and how you're responding to it, because that's what it's all about.
Well, I think it's interesting that you brought up grief, because I was just kind of thinking, you know, have you guys had counseling? Because I know there's a grieving process. There has to be a grieving process through this. Hmm. Have you guys had any sort of counseling, or has the family had any kind of counseling to just kind of learn to accept this as you go along, or you guys have just done it on your own?
What I'd like to say about your question about grief is, unfortunately, my husband has lived with Alzheimer's for 16 years now. Mm-hmm. And through that, he has gone through 3 support groups where he's outlived all but him, Don, too. Well, except for one, it's a Daybreak.
Yeah.
We don't want to say his name.
No.
He's a Daybreak.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think one. Knows what I'm talking about. One.
Uh-huh.
And these are not just Don showing up for a support group for an hour. These are true friends where the families got to know each other through these support groups. And unfortunately, right now, we're not really having this type of support group. They are getting ready to start it back at Bay Aging, which I'm so happy.
Thank goodness.
Where both caregiver and the person with Alzheimer's can come and talk to individuals going through the same thing that they are. But over the 16 years, mostly the younger onset that we've gotten to know, we just had so many wonderful friendships. And we've actually grieved for each and every single person that has been lost. And we've grieved with their families. And those connections didn't die when that person died. The connections are still here. There's a gentleman named Jim who we watched care for his brother. And he was my caregiver hero. He was the soft-spoken, kindest heart all through his brother's disease. He, you know, as we end up doing, we somewhat change our lives and put the person with Alzheimer's, you have to end up putting them first. And everything is done around them. And he really was a good guide for me. And Don and I both go and meet with him for lunch at least once a week.
Oh, that's great.
And so that's not the only relationship that we continue with. There's so much to be gained, and where Don would tell you that he looks around and finds blessings in everything. Mm. That's one thing Alzheimer's gave us: the most amazing, true friends that you can ever have. Because when you're going through something like this, you really don't understand until you've lived it.
Mm-hmm.
And where there are so many good people out there that want to understand. And one thing that I liked what Don said a long time ago is he said his brain was like an onion. And would you explain why?
I think Alzheimer's is like an onion.
Hmm.
And I think that the way I explain it to people is that Alzheimer's, you start with, well, let's start with the beginning. The fact that I was locking myself out of my office. I was locking myself out of my car. I was doing all these crazy things that I didn't know what was going on. Hmm. Once I found out what was going on, all right, that's the first layer of the onion being peeled back. The next thing was I lost my driver's license. There goes another layer. Then I lost all my guns. There goes another layer. I'm not allowed to go hunting. I'm not allowed to go driving. I can't do this. I can't do that. And it just keeps peeling back until you just got a stinky core that is worthless. And
at every single layer that's peeled away, we grieve because it's absolutely a part of Don that's gone forever. My husband he was a great boss. Mm-hmm. He was just an amazing musician and singer. Mm-hmm. And he drove, he was independent. And now we're dealing daily with the issues of Alzheimer's, and he can't even be left alone. He's not allowed to be alone.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to be alone. Right. So that part of it helps.
Well, it's...
And you grieve every step.
I think that's why I called the book what I called it.
Yeah.
Without the faithfulness,
mm-hmm.
I went straight. I did grieve for a little while. I really did. That's just human. You can't help but grieve what's going on.
Sure.
But I did tend to skip a lot of the process. And I just went to acceptance and understood that this was my path. And it has allowed me a couple of things. It has allowed me to love my wife more. We have a better relationship now than we've ever had.
Good thing, because we're together 24/7. Yeah.
I have a better relationship with my son.
Oh, God.
You know, we're able to mm-hmm. speak with beautiful people like yourselves that are actually care mm-hmm. and want to try to help. And I really believe with all my heart that it's no secret or special potion mix or anything. I think if you just treat people with Alzheimer's with love and respect.
And I'll tell you one of the lessons that I look back and realize also that we learned. People will have trouble with their memory or whatever, and they're afraid to go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they do go to the doctor and they're told that they have a dementia-like disease, they stop living.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. We actually saw someone after their diagnosis. They didn't want to be around people. They just went home. They didn't socialize. And they died very, very quickly.
Aww.
So our message is a couple things. It's if you're diagnosed with something, learn everything you can learn about the disease. Learn about the treatments. And number two, socialize and be out there and part of life with friends and family as long as you can, because there may come a day where that's not an option. Mm-hmm. And you never want to look back and say, mm-hmm. I wish we had gone on that cruise, or I wish we'd done that.
Yeah.
And one of the things that was most successful for Don and I in the early stages, we found humor in everything. Don would make fun and crack jokes even at himself. When he couldn't think to order chicken because he couldn't think of the word chicken, he would just tell the waitress, you know, those things cluck around and they got feathers. And where she thought he was being a jerk, we'd just sit there and laugh with him. Aww. Not at him, but with him.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things. You've got to find humor in every day while you can.
And I was thinking of something, you know, Dawn, the name of your book, Faith, My Faithful Journey. And I was thinking, obviously, we're all on a path. That's life. But so many people are lost. And you two have been so blessed that you are navigating your journey in a beautiful way, that not only helping each other, but you're helping others so much. And I just, God, can't thank you enough for giving of yourselves. And
yes,
for
thank
so
you.
Open.
Oh, absolutely. That's the only way Dawn and I could get through this, yeah, is to share what we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, there's always someone that will listen.
Well, thank goodness.
Well, if you ever have any questions, I mean, we will answer anything you want.
Yeah, we're open books.
Anything.
We talk about everything.
Yeah, everything.
This has been part two of a three-part series. Tune in to Your Care Partners next month for the final segment of this interview on 88.1 FM. If you missed part one, you can find it on our website, wwer.org. If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.